Welcome once again to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. And this is the second part of episode number 10, which I have entitled A Story 67 Years in the Making. And it's all about God's sovereignty and just reminding us that God has a special plan for each and every one of our lives. Before I get started with the episode for today, I would like to remind you once again that you can find the podcast on various platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. You can also email the podcast, truthfromtheheartpodcast@gmail.com. There were three verses that I mentioned in the last part of this episode, and I said I'm going to use these three verses on each part of this episode. And so I'm going to talk about those three verses, and then I'll start with this special story that I've been wanting to share with you for quite some time. I don't want to keep you in suspense too long. And so again, let me get to these verses. And the first one is going to be Genesis 1:27. And again, I read from the ESV version, and it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Our next verse takes us to the book of Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah 1:5. And it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then finally, the last verse, which I told you, I have made my life verse, and that is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So here's what those three verses remind us for real quick. And the first one reminds us that we are created in the image of God. The second one is that God knew us before we were ever born, before we were ever conceived. God knew us. He had a plan for us. He has a special plan for each and every one of us. And then the last verse, which again is my life verse, he has a plan for us, a plan not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. And as I've said, if you do not know what your purpose in life is, if you do not know what God's plan for your life is, I encourage you, turn to him, ask him to show you, to reveal to you what that is. God's not going to sit there and hide anything from us. If you ask him, he will show you the way. He will show you what he wants you to do in your life. You just have to turn to him. All right, so here we go. Here's the special story that I wanted to share with you. And as I mentioned in the last part of the episode as well, I'm not going to mention any names, not because this is a bad story and that it would embarrass anybody or anything like that. I just don't want you to get caught up on the names, and I don't want you to get confused of, well, now who is that again? Who is this again? I'm just going to try and say what the relationships are to me, and that way hopefully everything will make sense. Again, it's a pretty amazing story, and the story started nearly 67 years ago. My mother was born in Pecos, Texas, and was adopted by my grandparents. Now, they had tried to have children, but they were unable to, and God blessed them with my mother. Later on, they would adopt a son, which is my uncle, and my grandfather was a dentist and eventually became a well-renowned orthodontist, and many people who we know, he straightened their teeth, as a matter of fact. He set up a practice in Fort Worth. After they had moved several times, they started, of course, in Pecos, and then they moved to Beaumont, and again, they settled in Fort Worth, and that is where my grandfather set up his practice. He straightened many teeth, and here's something that some people that even he straightened their teeth may not know, and that is that my grandfather was in a car accident a long time ago, and he actually lost sight in one of his eyes, and so he could only see out of one of his eyes, and he did not have a class eye. He just was blind in one eye. So he was a one-eyed orthodontist. He did an amazing job, and he passed away nearly 20 years ago. Of course, we miss him very much, and so that's kind of an amazing thing, and like I said, only God could do something like that. He was a one-eyed orthodontist, but he did a great job, and there were so many people that now have beautiful smiles thanks to my grandfather. My mother grew up in a Christian home, and eventually she graduated from Baylor with a teaching degree. She taught for years and eventually became a stay-at-home mom. She's recently gone back to teaching. She's not a teacher, so to speak. She is more of a tutor. She goes and she helps tutor kids that are behind and kind of helps them get caught up and get back on track of where they need to be for their grade. She works for a school district in the city where we live, and so she has gone back and done that, and I know she enjoys doing that and helping those kids and making an impact in their lives. Pretty soon after graduating from Baylor, she married my dad, and they became members of First Baptist Church Euless, which is now called Cross City. They taught Sunday school for a number of years, and in the mid to late 2000s, she became the Bible Drill Coordinator. And it has been a blessing for most of my family to be able to help her with the Bible Drill program. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, it is a Southern Baptist program, and it's a Bible memorization program where children learn to find their books of the Bible, and they learn 25 verses each year. The verses they learn are verses that they can use to help them share the gospel with someone. They're also serving as verses that can apply to their lives even down the road. So they're hiding God's word in their heart. That is what we preach. It's not about they have to find the books within 10 seconds. They can go to competition, but we don't push the competition part. If they want to do that, and I know some kids are real competitive, that's fine and they can do that. But we don't want to push that. We just want to push that they hide God's word in their hearts because they will need it in their lives, as we all need the gospel in our lives. The program is for grades 4 through 12, and it's pretty amazing to see some of these high school kids because the children learn verses. When you get up to high school, you have to learn entire biblical passages. I'm talking entire passages, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the love chapter, and the list goes on, and they have to learn these word for word, and they have to say them back. And again, it's just amazing. I've been a part of the program now ever since my mom became the coordinator, and it has just been amazing to see kids grow through the program. And just, it's an amazing thing to hear high school kids recite God's word, word for word, and just know that they are hiding it in their hearts. So it's an amazing program. And the program's also for first and third graders. It's called Bible Buddies. And those kids don't have to memorize the verses and they can't compete, but we like to get them started early so they can at least learn their books of the Bible and learn where some of these verses are. There's some verses that are easy. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." That's not a hard verse. I learned that verse a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I think I learned it in Bible drill. So it's stuff like that. We're getting the kids started early. For those adults who are out there and all the craziness that's going on in this world, I think it's pretty safe to say that we definitely need to have more of the word in our lives. And unfortunately, there are not as many churches doing the program as there have been in the past. But my mom has also volunteered with an apartment ministry and after-school programs that share the gospel with children. And I cannot count the number of children that have heard the gospel, whether it be in Sunday school, Bible drill, or one of those other programs that I mentioned. And I say all of that to say that it was one selfless act 67 years ago that has had an impact on so many of those lives. And of course, it was the decision made by my biological grandmother to give my mother up for adoption. And without that act, I would not be here talking to you today. My mom would not have met my dad. So that is why decisions matter, and especially the decision to choose life. My mom has had an amazing life. And again, think of the lives that have been impacted by her because of the decision that my biological grandmother made. That is why I have a hard time for people who vote for candidates or vote for people that are pushing for abortion, because I don't understand. I can't reconcile how you can be a Christ follower and not see the value that every single life has. As I mentioned, I know it may be shocking to a lot of people, but every person that has been born was put on this earth for a reason. Now, maybe they didn't live out the reason. Maybe they never discovered what the purpose was. And that's a tragedy to me. It really, really is. But every person was born for a reason. God never does anything by accident. It's not for us to sit here and say, well, I would have done it a different way, or I would have got him to this point, you know, a different way. Here's the thing, though. You don't have to be a Christian to value life. And that's why I'm saying I hope this story inspires you and gets you to thinking. And if you believe that women should have the right to kill their babies, then I just hope that maybe this will change your mind, or it'll get you to thinking, and you'll see the value that every precious life has, because we are created in the image of God. I'm not trying to sit here and hit anybody over the head. I'm just sharing a story with you and just telling you that if it had not been for my biological grandmother making that tough choice to give my mom up for adoption, I may not be here today. My mom's life may have been different because she may never have met my dad. I may not have been born and bred Texan, which of course is the greatest state in our entire nation. So there are so many things that it's like, this would not have happened if my mom had not been put up for adoption. And of course, if she had been aborted, then none of it would have happened. But every life has value. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again. So throughout my mom's life, she never really had the desire to try and find her adopted family. And there's nothing wrong with that. And before I continue on with the story, I just want to say this. We have talked about this many times. And, you know, I had asked a few times over the years, like, are you ever going to try and find them? And she said, I don't know. I don't really have the desire to find the family. And I understood that. I was okay with that. Like I said, my grandparents were amazing people, and they will always be my grandparents. And so that is something that I can understand. I can respect that. For me, I think I would have a hard time not knowing. I would just at least want to know who my biological parents were. And here's the thing. If God wants you to know, then you'll find out who they are. If he doesn't want you to know, then you won't. Again, he has a plan already in place. He already knew from before the foundation of the world that my mom was going to be adopted by my grandparents. That was the plan from the very beginning. And so that was not a surprise to him. That wasn't supposed to happen. It was exactly supposed to happen that way. And I'll talk a little bit more as I get into the story. So anyway, continuing on, fast forward now to last year, 2023, my mom's adopted brother told her he submitted something to 23andMe, which is kind of like Ancestry.com, I think. I think you take a swab in your mouth with your DNA, and then you send it in, and then it tells you if you have a match or not. It'll read your sample, and then if someone else who is using 23andMe matches you, then it will tell you that they've matched. And my uncle was able to make a connection and find his mother. And he knew that his mother was a teen mother. And so when he began searching, he knew there was a chance that she could still be alive. Well, again, he did find her. She lives in Dallas in a memory care center. And here's the thing I want to say for those of you who may be adopted, and maybe after this, you're inspired to look for your own family. Here's a word of caution, because my caregiver at church was adopted, and I told him this story, and I just said, look, I understand you may not have a desire at all to find your biological family, and that's fine, and I respect that decision, and I can understand that as well. But there are some people that may say, I want to do it, but I'm a little hesitant because I just don't know what I'm going to find. And that is what I caution, is you never know what you're going to find. It can be good or it can be bad. But you've got to accept whatever it is that you find. That's just sort of a word of caution, that you could find that your parents are dead. You could find that your parents are in jail, or that, you know, whatever the case may be. It may not be exactly what you want it to be. And so you just have to be cautious of that and stuff. And that's why, like I said, I'm definitely not pushing you to find your biological family if you're adopted, but it can really turn out well, as you're going to hear about when I get to my mom's story. Back to my family story. My uncle found out that his dad was kind of wild, and he ended up being killed in a pool hall in Dallas in the 1960s. And again, he already, I think, sort of knew that his dad was kind of wild, but that's not necessarily the perfect image of a father that he may have been hoping for. But again, it's something that you've got to accept. He can't change that. He didn't choose that. God chose his father. He and his mother were never married. I think it was either a really short-term relationship, or it even may have been a one-night stand. And as I mentioned, my uncle's mother has memory issues. And he actually connected. My uncle also found out that he has several half-siblings. I'm not sure whether they're from his father or his mother, but he did have several half-siblings. And so that's kind of special because he's got some more people in his life. And that could be the other reason why some people don't want to find their biological family, because especially if you were my uncle's age and my mom's age, they're in their 60s. All of a sudden you pop into somebody's life after 60 years and say, hi, we're related. You know, a lot of people are going to not necessarily push you away, but it's going to be a big shock to people. They may not be welcoming with open arms. Some may not accept the fact. They may not want you in their lives. So that's where I said it's one of those things that can open up a whole bunch of can of worms. And so you've got to be okay. You've got to pray about it and ask God, you know, on this journey, whatever I find, I know that it all happened for a reason. And if that's really something that you want to move forward with, then I suggest that you move forward, because you never know how it's going to turn out. You never know what God's going to do. As I mentioned, my uncle's mother has memory issues. He asked if he could meet her, and the family was a little bit afraid to tell her who he was. They weren't sure, one, if she would even remember or know what was going on, but they didn't want to bring up any bad memories as well. And so they just said that somebody is here to see you. So he was able to go meet her, get his picture with her. He looks just like her. There's no doubt whatsoever that that is his mother. And so that's kind of a happy ending. It's a shame that they can't really have a mother-son relationship where they can have those talks. She can kind of get him caught up on what's happened in her life, and he can get her caught up on his life, because with those memory issues, you can't have those conversations. And so I do feel bad. And some people may say, well, why did he wait so long? And why did my mom wait so long? And part of that is because with the technology that we have these days, it is quite easy to find a match. It's quite easy to be able to search and try and find things out. So 10 or 15 years ago, I'm not sure that they could have found them. And that would be heartbreaking too. You know, you start out on the journey to try and find somebody and you never end up finding them. So I can understand why they waited so long to find them. And I don't even know how long 23andMe has been around, but I don't think it was around 20 something years ago. So technology can be a blessing. I know sometimes people say it's mostly a curse, and I would agree somewhat with that, but technology can also be a blessing because it's so advanced now. It's come a long way, and it can help in situations like this. And so that is just a little bit of my mom's story and kind of my uncle's story, and it's all going to lead into what happened with my mom. So I hope you will continue listening. Like I said, it's an amazing story. It's a story that I've wanted to share with you. It's been developing over the last several months, and it's not over yet. I said that in the first part of this episode. It is not over yet. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with the rest of this story, but it's one that is just too good not to go ahead and share with you. So I will continue the story on the next part of this episode. In the meantime, let me go ahead and say a quick prayer for us, and I'll close this out for today. Lord, I just want to pray for all of those who are listening today. I just pray that this episode moves their heart. I pray that if they don't know why they are on this earth, if they don't know what their purpose is or your will is for their life, that they would turn to you and that they would find out what that plan or that purpose is. And Lord, I pray that there would be so many, especially expecting mothers, that they would see the value that life has and that they would give that baby life, whether it's give it up for adoption or whether it's keep it. I just pray for all of the babies in the womb right now, because life is so precious. Because as your word says, we are created in your image. You love us more than we could ever imagine, and you have given us this precious gift of life. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace and mercy, and thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. I will continue this episode, which is episode number 10, a reunion, 67 years in the making, on the next part. So I hope you will tune in for that. This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless. Until next time.